Good morning, everybody. Look like we got a full house. It's good to see you again. You know, there's something I was kind of going through some of the scriptures this morning. Not really sure where to go, to be honest with you. But praise God. You know, I know. But one of the things that did stick out to me was in Timothy. And I, you know, one of the things, it's easy. You know, we get going about our everyday lives, about our tasks at hand, the things we need to get done, our jobs. You know, and our perspective can be very easily just fixed on these things. And not about the Lord in it. You know, just on the task. And you know, I'm telling you, I mean, these things that we have to do in our everyday life. Being a father, being a husband, being a servant. Those that go out to work every day. You know, wives, to your husbands, to your children. Children, to your parents, to your brothers and sisters. You know, in all these things, if we forget that it's about the Lord and about glorifying Him, then we just miss the whole point. We miss the whole point. And if we're not doing this as unto the Lord, and our focus is just only on that and not as unto the Lord, then we're going to miss the opportunities of the ministration of the gospel to other people. We're going to completely miss that. Because our eyes are focused on what we have to do. Not about glorifying the Lord in it. And it's easy. It's easy to get caught up in that. And one of the things that Paul tells us to do, what Paul tells Timothy to do, and I think it's the second epistle of Timothy, chapter 2. We'll start from verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." This kind of reminds me of going back to Matthew where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And you know, we can get entangled up in our personal agenda, or what we want to see done, or what we want to see accomplished, and the people that the Lord sends will go right by us unministered to. Because we're so wrapped up in ourselves and what we want to get done. I know I had an opportunity that I missed just this past week on that. And I looked at it and said, dang. So when you become a soldier of Jesus Christ, it's all about Him. When you put on that mind of Christ, it's all about glorifying the Father. Glorifying Jesus. You know, you walk as we're supposed to walk as Jesus walked. Doesn't that tell us to do that? Did he not have opportunity after opportunity? And when the opportunity he came, we can read the Gospels and see how he was moment, 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 moment at time to minister and quick to minister to somebody. What's that? He didn't season out. Oh, instant in season and out is what Paul says. All the time. And I know for myself, I look at that and that shames me. Because how many times at work? You know, how many times throughout my day with I'm with my family and my friends and I just miss those opportunities? Whew! Because I get too wrapped up in myself and what I think I need to see happen, what I think needs to be done. You know? Instead of looking on the opportunity. Remember when Jesus was at the well with the woman? Or I think that was the time. But he says, look on the fields. They're ready. They're ready for harvest. We need laborers in that field. He's talking about sowing the seed. There's people out there ready to receive. There's people out there that need to hear the gospel. They need relief. They need life. They're trapped in this world. They're trapped in the snare of this world. The programmed system of death. They really just need the gospel. Because that's a far greater life. Than being stuck in the snare of this world. Into this flesh. That's death. You know, I take as we come together as a body. And when I mean as a body, I'm talking about the South Carolina body. We need to really take a look at what we're about. Is it about furthering the gospel? Or not? If it's not, then we need to search within ourselves and get about furthering the gospel. I know one of the things that Davey was asking during the... And I'll ask you guys. You know, why are we here? What is our job? Preach the gospel. Thank you, Lisa. That's our job. Have we not received from the Lord and tasted that the Lord is gracious? Amen. Have we not seen in our little lives those tough situations where the just like the children of Israel and the Egyptians were bearing down on their back? Not the same, granted, but those tough situations. And the Lord delivered us. I know Brad and Lisa was one that the reason why they're here together as a family is only because of Jesus Christ. Because they were in a really bad situation years, years, and years ago. The only reason why I'm up here standing and talking about the Lord is because of Jesus Christ. I just shared something with Lisa the other day. It was just amazing of how good and gracious the Lord is. After I walked away from the ministry, after I was very rebellious and got a correction of vice, but I got proud and naughty and said, I don't need to listen to that. I can do what I want. He was faithful to me at that time when I was not to Him at all. And I walked away. And I did too much drugs one night and I was falling down in a pit. I think I was about to fall my butt right down to hell. And I felt like a hand snatched up and grabbed my sorry butt back up. Said, I'm not done with you yet. Woke up, somebody's giving me CPR in front of me. Later on, we were talking, she said, was flipping through the TV. That same woman that gave me CPR, flipping through the TV. She was watching the shows. And the show was showing, she'd never done CPR in her life, didn't know how to do it, but a show came on about CPR. She went to go change the channel. She says, you know what, I better watch that. Something told her to watch that. Clicked back down. And she learned it the night before. That's the hand of God. That was Him being faithful to me. That's for people that was praying for me in this body. And I didn't deserve it. People need to know how gracious the Lord is. The Lord's good. And if we forget that, if we forget what it's about, and we're stressed out every moment about this and that and this and that, we really are as the children of Israel who are walking in unbelief. Because they look at the giants and say, man, they're going to kill us. We can't take that land. Man, we need to turn that focus around and say, no, that land is for our taking. Because God's good and He's going to deliver it to us because He promised it and He said so. Amen. Let that be our focus. Let that be what drives us. That should be the only thing that drives us. The only thing. And people need life saving. He died on the sins for the whole world. I'm nothing special. You're nothing special. And even though those people out there are nothing special, they need to hear it. Doesn't matter. Because the Lord's that good. You know, we go to Romans. I just want to hit this part in Romans. And No. I don't think so, Paulie. If I am, I apologize. Not my intentions. I could say that. I... You know, in Romans, somebody pull it up. I'm not going to find it. But where it says, you know, for one, you know, oh, some would die for a righteous man, some might. Five, seven. And I'm going to start at 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commending His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means at our absolute worst. That means when I was saying, I'm going to be Lord of my own life and walk into my own pride and rebellion, and I was just at my worst. And I seen where it got me and I was on the lowest thing with no hope, with no chance in this world. I'm telling you, I'm not good at anything. I haven't been successful at anything. I haven't been committed to anything in my life. Never seen it. I wasn't successful in school. I dropped out my senior year like an idiot. I didn't hold down a job, couldn't. I don't have any kind of plaque on the wall that shows anything. I think I got one time I got a first place trophy in football. Really, the MVP one was taken up, and then there was another trophy, and I think they just made one for me because they felt bad for me. I remember them telling me that. Well, we really just, the Lord wasn't here, but you know, we knew how much you tried, and you were close up to those guys, but not quite. So, you know, we made up this reward for you. Oh, thanks. I really just, don't give me one then. I don't know. So, hey, you know what? Hey, look, praise God. That was because my dad was cutting my tail, making me go. You know, but look, praise God. Look what the Lord's done in my life. I don't deserve it. There's nothing I can do. I have earned that. One bit. But God's that good. And if He's that good to me, He's that can be that good to anybody else. But how's anybody else going to know if we don't tell them? How's anybody else going to know if we're not paying attention to the opportunity that He's put forth in front of us? And how are we going to see the opportunity unless we're putting on His mind? Where does that responsibility boil down? That kind of boils down on us to make the choice to do such. Amen? You know, and I tell you, I fail, Bo. I have failed miserably. But that's okay. You know what? I know the Lord's forgiven me. And you know what? I know that today's a new day. And you know what? I can know I can step out and trust Him in this day. And I can choose to put on that mind of Christ right now. And I don't have to worry about tomorrow. And you know what? I don't have to worry about what happened yesterday. Because that's the freedom of Jesus Christ and what He's gave us. And that's the freedom that He wants us to walk in. Amen? Let's let Him be Lord. Let's really choose to let Him be Lord. That is really putting it all in His hand. And whatever He gives us throughout the day, we go, yay and amen. And I don't have to see it. I don't have to control the situation. I don't have to know how it's going to turn out. I don't have to. I don't have to know why the situation is the way it is. Because I can walk in that grace that God's given me. And so can you. And that's what He's called y'all to do. And it's freedom from the bondage of this world. Isn't that what the world wants us to figure out? How we're going to take care of ourselves? I don't have to worry about how I'm going to take care of myself. God's going to take care of me. The one that created heaven and earth. Much bigger than any government in this place, I tell you that. Amen? So let's walk in that freedom. And let's be about the business of Him. Let's put on that mind of Christ so that what? Others may know Him also. And how awesome He is. Because truly, our God is an awesome God.
I don't know, man. I got too many scriptures here. Don't know how I'm going to piece it all together. The ferocity of that kind of reminds me of Matthew 11. You know, when Caleb and Joshua went in to spy out the promised land. They were only two of the, how about 12 went?
I don't remember, Paul. I don't remember.
Only two of them came back and said, okay, it's ours. Let's go take it. Everybody else said, the people in there are giants and we're all scared. Caleb and Joshua, two old men, said, let's take it. A lot of what Phil was hitting on there especially as you know, you start out in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Caleb and Joshua are ready to go take it. They understood that it wasn't theirs except for the Lord has gone out before them. He's led them through the wilderness. He's provided for them. He vanquished his enemies. And, you know, I keep tossing on occasion. It comes back to me, and I keep tossing this thing out here, but 1 John chapter 2. He that say he abideth in him, Jesus, ought also himself also to walk even as he walked. Jesus. Then this is the stuff that comes before that in chapter 2, they're pretty important things. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought also himself so to walk, even as he walked. That means living like he lived, doing like he did. There are two kinds of people out there, and I love doing these. There's two kinds of people out there. There are those that don't know God and fear him. And there are people who say they know him and don't fear him. Now, in the first case, that fear as a spirit is designed to keep them from getting to know him. In the second place is pride and presumption. But their life show it. They're not walking as he walked. There may be for other purpose. There may be other kinds of people, but that's not one of the pearls of wisdom that will last forever, I guess, that come from me. But that's certainly something that I've seen. To be the case. But if you say you abide in him, and you're not walking like he walked, you're like the second. You say you know him and you don't show it. And that's the part of the gospel that is the most demonstrative. It's what you do after what you say. And if what you say isn't shown in what you do, then that puts you back up there in the liar category. Preach the gospel and sometimes use words. That's because all the time your actions show. Let's go momentarily to 1 Corinthians 13. And this flows out of keeping His commandments. Love God, love one another. Because we're kind of like Peter in John 21, where Jesus says, "You love me?" Agape. And Peter goes, "Sure, I filio you." And he plays the word game back and forth two or three times. And finally Jesus says, "Do you filio me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I filio you." Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, agape, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. No need to get Paul puffed up. Oh, Lord, use me one time. If you have not charity, you are nothing. That puts you on equal footing with a jackass and, you know, bones, jawbones of thereof. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and, you know, although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, we've even perverted that. I mean, this is something in this example he's doing to be puffed up and, you know, demonstrate how pious he is and all this stuff. Today we don't do that. Today the ones we honor are spending other people's money to feed the poor, and we call them servants. The public servants. They're great people. Well, this ratchets it up another notch from there. Even if it's yours. And though you give your body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Let's get the personal pronoun case there right. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long. And, you know, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's all about me. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own and is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And if you're working around agape love, you're walking as Jesus walked. If your walk doesn't look like 3 to 7 there, then it isn't, you ain't got eight either. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Most of us come into this in a place of failure, and they walk out feeling better about themselves, still in a place of failure. Oh yeah, Paul was in a bad place here. Paul was using himself allegorically for all of us. He could do this stuff. The people he's talking to here had a problem with that. So do we. It all sounded pretty good until we started getting into verse 3 and started getting examples of stuff. Most of us want to be seen being loving and, you know, being, you know, nice, good people, loving people, when the standard we use to measure is carnal. Well, they make me feel good. That's loving. No, it's not. That's not loving. Loving is, you know, that guy that irritates the crap out of you. You don't treat him like he irritates the crap out of you. You treat him like he's somebody that matters. And you might be suffering long, but at the end of the day, after you've shown that you're loving them and accepting them, then loving them is to call them to account. Make them make a decision. Charity never faileth, but where? Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known, and now abideth faith, hope, and charities, these three, but the greatest is charity. This is going to be something that's, this is going to be something that you need here and now, and you need to learn how to exercise it. Because you're going to need it. It's something that's going to carry with you. You get up there to meet the Lord, you're going to need charity. You're going to need charity. You need to have an experience with it now. Go back up to for a moment. You want that. First John 2:5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought also to walk even as he walked. That love of God gets perfected in you, then you want to give it out. I know that I have not been faithful to do that. It doesn't take but just a second. Just a second. For me not holding every thought captive to the obedience of Christ Jesus, and then all of a sudden, in that moment, I deserve better than this. They're just doing that to get over on me. Those are two examples of charity not working, and you cut off the love being perfected in you. And at that point, you're not abiding in Him either. This is one of those it amounts to taking His name in vain. That's what that is. I say I'm His, but I'm acting like me. I say I turned over my life to Him, but this isn't how He walked. He didn't do that. I wish I knew why I had that mark there. I don't remember marking that. That was a mistake. Now the goodness and abundant love and mercy and grace. You know, Phil hit in Romans that while we were yet His enemies, Christ died for us. Not just while we didn't deserve it, while we were actively His enemies. Working against Him, working against kingdom things, making Christians jokes. Doing everything you could to discredit those dirty hypocrites. Romans 8, He that spared not His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? We as fathers have not been doing a good job revealing the character of God to our children. They don't fear us like they ought. They don't respect us like they should. Consequently, they don't know the Lord like they should. They don't fear Him. They don't respect Him. They don't respect you. Children are our oppressors, and our women rule over us. Isn't that what? Is it Isaiah 3:14? He that spared not His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. And if you're God's elect, you don't want anybody's justification but God's. But that is the character of the God that we're supposed to be ministering out there. He didn't deny us His only Son. And if you just are willing to go tell people how good He is in that, then you open the spigot. He's not gonna withhold from you anything. He'll give you everything you need to do whatever He's asked you to do. He's asked you to do it. He could compel you to do it. He's not compelling you to do it. He wants you to agree. He could. Did that to Paul, right? I, you know, commiserate with Paul. I don't feel like I've had any choice in anything that I've been doing. But I understand the bountiful blessings that have come from just doing, agreeing to do what he wants me to do. Yeah, I mess up. Yeah, I don't do it right all the time. Yeah, I get corrected and praise God. That's love. It's very seldom directly from him, but it is from my authorities, and my authorities have shown they love me. They put up with me when I was unprofitable in any way. And love me to the point where I could learn how to become profitable. The goodness of the Lord and our frailty and infirmity of the flesh, infirmity of mind, that's why we have to put off the old man and put on the new man. Because the old man is all about serving the old man. And the new man is so happy to have been pulled out of the pits of hell that he's excited about serving Jesus. Praises God for the opportunity. Praises God for his abundant mercy, his abundant love, his abundant grace. And says, what next can I do for you, Lord? What next can I do for you, Lord? What next can I do for you, Lord? But there's two places we hide, and one of them is in being busy about being busy. And the other one is removing ourselves to appear piously about the word and prayer. And either I come out of that smelling good because I'm not wholly committed to either one, or I come out of that smelling bad because I'm not wholly committed to either one. But I don't want to come out of it lukewarm. I want to be wholly committed. Because as Jesus walked, was he did only that which the Father gave him to do. And without him I can do nothing. And through him I can do all things. That's what Philippians says. So you want to, that's where you want to dwell. You want to dwell between those two things. Without him I can do nothing, but with him I can do all things. And he gives me everything I need to do everything he's called me to do. I didn't have to go out there and prove myself worthy. He did it. Because he's good and he hasn't spared not his only son. Why would he hold anything else back?